Yes, let's please move on.
Can we go to public comment, please?
That's exactly where we're getting ready to go. It is now 8:18. That means we have 30 minutes from 8:18. I'll calculate it when the first person starts. I'm going to calculate it when the first person starts talking. Paula, what do you see out there?
I do know that we have Ms. PK that has asked for public comment. So, Ms. PK, please unmute yourself and speak.
PK? I'm trying to unmute. Hello, everybody. I'm sorry I have not been able to listen to everything. I know that I've been getting a lot of phone calls from individuals who are seemingly upset. As someone who has watched this process before, and this is not an indictment on anybody right now. I'm not talking about individuals. I'm talking about systems. And the systems always seem to have more equity to our melanin challenge friends than anybody else. And it is one of the heartbreaks of being part of something and not feeling like you're being heard. In the twist of a dial, you know, people can stop listening to 90.1 and end up on 90.9, for instance. And people might get to 90.9 and they're okay with that and never think about 90.1 again. But 90.1 KPFT means a lot to a lot of different people for a lot of different ways. And they're all valuable reasons for wanting this station to be inclusive. I've talked to Mr. Bays, and I think his heart is in the right place, but also sometimes that even being in the right place, we don't stop to think about what is really happening at the station. And again, no indictment on anybody right now, because I know about the turn of a phrase or the twist of a dial with what I'm going through right now. And what I'm going through right now is about truth and facts. And I like the way Dwayne just a little while ago acknowledged that it's no one person's fault, but it is a system. I have been begging you, the LSB, the Pacifica, you know, PMB, to create an anti-racist platform. And that means that you take a second look at the decisions to make sure that it's fair and equitable, because it has not been in most of the last 20 years. It has not been fair. And I would urge you that you look at yourselves individually and decide what it is that you want to see happen at the station, while at the same time, in trying to figure that out, that you do what is right based on your own standards of integrity and ethics. That's it.
The next person.
Okay, the next person that I see is Captain Tom.
Go ahead.
Thank you, Madam Chair. PK, you took some of the words right out of my mouth, and I do heartily agree there needs to be a platform to address racism. Also, I am very happy with our new general manager. He is working very, very hard, and I can contest to that myself because I've had constant contact with him. And he is trying his best to get the job done. We need to move the station. That's all there is to do. The building cannot be fixed. It is not, it's not recoverable. And that's all there is to it. And, I would appreciate if everybody would cooperate with the general manager and not question him on programming change. That's all there is to it. He's the boss. That's it. You know, he can consult with his programmers. Yes, that's true. I agree with Dwayne Lark on that. However, there needs to be a lot of cooperation and a lot of respect for our GM. And also our chair, okay, Niecy Williams, all right? I'm tired of hearing her being jumped on and criticized and threatened, you know, and I'm getting a little sick of it. This woman was elected chair, and we need to support the chair. She is not a dictator. She is a leader, and she's trying to get the job done as well. And any other officers or staff members on this board needs to cooperate with your chair. Thank you. That's all I have.
Paul. Thank you, Captain Tom. I have Rodrigo. Is that Rodrigo Bravo?
Yes, ma'am.
Thank you. Go ahead and speak, please.
My name is Rodrigo Bravo. I'm producer for Latino Politics and News, as well as Nuestra Palabra, Latino writers having their say. I just would like to point out that I did upload some files. I did an analysis of all the shows, including the old schedule, the proposed schedule, and the current schedule as of June 4th, 2021. And I went ahead and went through those file shows. I tried to compile the demographics as honestly as I could. I didn't make any assumptions. So if I couldn't verify any of the data, I did not include that data in the reviewed data set. So all the work that I have on there that's been analyzed is accurate. You know, if there is a mistake, I'm more than willing to, you know, share that, you know, to correct that. But quite honestly, the truth bears out in the numbers. There was an increase in white representation when compared to Houston demographics. Black and Asian communities lost 73% of primetime representation. You know, Latino and indigenous voices were eliminated completely from primetime completely. And white voices currently account for 94% of primetime hours. Also, on the increase of male voices compared to the old schedule, female representation dropped everywhere, the biggest being weekdays where a minus 45% occurred. Female representation in primetime dropped from 24% to 13% to the proposed and then to 12% in the actual. And right now, male-dominated centric shows represent 88% of primetime programming. I say this because I don't want to come through with emotion. I don't want to come through with just, you know, baseless accusations. I'm basing it on the facts. I'm basing it on what KPFT already had on the schedule. I'm basing it on the schedule that was sent to us on May 25th. And I'm basing it on the schedule that was in effect June 24th. My understanding is that a couple of shows have been placed back on the air, but that's not enough. And just because my show has been back on the air, that doesn't mean that I'm not going to fight for the other shows that were removed. I keep hearing people say, you know, the gentleman in question, the general manager, you know, he's doing the best that he can and this and that. But I don't like mediocrity, and I don't like mediocrity in communication. The gentleman was hired back in January. I sent him several emails. I've never gotten any response. Tony sent him several emails when we realized that the shows were not on there. Never got a response until today in a terse one sentence email that was responded to us saying that Nuestra Palabra would be back on the air on Tuesdays at 11 a.m., I'm sorry. However, Latino Politics and News is still off the air. One suggestion that was made was that we were moved to HD. And just to give you some, you know, this is why the BIPOC community is so upset right now. Because the general manager didn't even have the courtesy to know the name of our show. On the HD schedule, he said that it was called Letters in Politics. And we looked at it and said, we were looking for Latino Politics and News, and it was listed as Letters in Politics. And we said, oh, okay, that's a typo or whatever. But guess what? I went to the website on KPFT. There's actually a show called Letters in Politics. Okay, so our show was actually never intended to be on either FM or HD2. Okay, and to say that he was not aware of the show's existence, the only email that I did receive from him was a group email, so he did have my email, and it was to say, hey, go ahead and drop your shows in the Dropbox below, which was on June 25th prior to receiving that. So, hey, if y'all want to give him cut of a break and, you know, say, oh, you know what, he's trying his best and this and that, that's on y'all. I'm not going to do that. I think to be an effective manager, you really should start out communicating. And if he wants buy-in on schedules and such, that should have happened 6 months ago when he got hired. I feel this is terribly poor. I think this is mismanaged. And to be quite frank, I don't think it's unintentional. I think it was intentional in the sense like, hey, what can we do to get rid of certain programs and increase the programs that we want? So that is my statement right there. And I appreciate the time to be able to share that. If anybody has any questions, my name is Rodrigo Bravo. My email is RodrigoBravoJr@gmail.com. I've listed both of the files in the chat. If you would like access to the data, I have all the data sets and points as well as the reporting and the MMVs. If you know statistics and analysis, you know what I'm talking about. If you don't, you probably don't know. I'm done. Thank you very much for the time.
Paul.
Next we have Brian Perez. Is that how you pronounce it, Brian Perez?
If you can roll your R's, that'd be much better.
Perez?
Parras.
Perez?
Parras.
Barras. Barras. Yeah, but I won't hold it against you. And I think it's a good point too, right? All of us have ways that we speak. We all have different, first languages. We also have different intonations and ways that we communicate. Some of us are loud. Some of us are loud. Some of us use humor. Some of us use other forms of speech, that are just as hurtful, harmful, toxic, as being loud can be received by some, right? So I just wanted to start with that and thank everyone. It's been a while since I've commented on the programs and KPFT, largely because I think it's important to allow space for other folks to come in and be a part of the station. It's been a really big, pivotal part of my learning experience in the early 2000s, doing independent media and also being a co-producer of Nuestra Palabra for over a decade. And it is incredible to think about the impact that we've had, not just in the city, in the county, in the state, but across the country. We've broke international news on Nuestra Palabra. We've had dozens of volunteers go on to work for news outlets at the local level, like Univision, Telemundo, Houston Chronicle, Houston Press, in all medias, and at the national level with the AP and Axios now. So the impact of a station program for a particular community really is incredibly important. And for that reason, I couldn't just sit back and watch the changes that were being made happen. And it's particularly hurtful that they happen at the anniversary of the murder of George Floyd. After a year of racial reckoning and promises and platitudes about doing better, being better, it's hard for me to accept that shooting in the dark, these changes were made that by far benefited the white male community as as expressed by Rodrigo's research and work. And it's happened before, right? It's not like this is the first time either. And so, you know, the same excuses that I've heard are disappointing because we've gone through this before. And I do expect more, you know, particularly because folks have been here on the board for so long, and to allow and accept, that is just not acceptable, you know, and so I also really am hurt by, you know, the throwing of Bobby under the bus, who's been an incredible, dedicated, engineer for a very long time. And would show up and get calls, you know, in the middle of the night. It's always been responsive. I don't think that's fair, you know. And I think, you know, for someone to speak about folks who have been a part of the station for so long, without that acknowledgement, and to comment about it after the fact in a very condescending way is also insulting, you know, and it's important that whatever changes are said to have happened, that they're watched, because it actually doesn't mean anything until we hear those shows on the station during the week at the times that they said they're going to be on. And there definitely needs to be more public participation, in addition to the participation of the programmers. The listeners are the reason the station exists, why they continue to exist. And if they're not part of the process, then why are you taking money from them? You know, it's not enough. And I would hope that, you know, and I would ask that, there be a town hall. And I would ask David and programmers to make themselves available, so that that input could be received. You know, process is really important. Process says a lot about your values and the values that KPFT has been a part of for the last 20 years since I've known the station, do not operate without community input. There are no, you know, top-down decisions made. And the same level of, you know, support for a previous black general manager was not given that same level of respect of he's the boss, let him do whatever. So there are trends of bias. Whether they are intentional or not, there's bias in this station. There's bias in this country. And that is something that this station, you know, has attempted to tackle, talk about, address. And I hope that it will continue to do so, so that I can continue to support it. And I just want to, you know, thank the folks who have tried really hard to hold KPFT to its mission. And I applaud Rodrigo and all of the other, you know, programmers of color who have given their time and, you know, never been paid for this work. We didn't talk about that, but it's another issue of who gets paid, to be a host, to be a DJ on this station. And there are also, discrepancies and biases on that as well. Let's work to make this more inclusive. As you yourself said, Dave, in the article that V mentioned, I read it, you know, I don't think wiping out programs of color is a way to increase diversity. But I'm here to work with anyone who is serious about doing that moving forward. Thank you and hope y'all have a good night.
Thank you as well. The last hand that I see raised is Rad Rich. Mr. Rich, please unmute.
Hey, can you hear me?
Yes, we can.
Yeah, first of all, I agree with Rodrigo and Brian. Brian's been up there for a long time, and we've seen this before. We've seen the same actions of this board, and we've seen the same actions of general managers coming in and making changes, wholesale changes, and then leaving. It'd be nice, and I'm not commenting on the issue of Bobby, because he was right. Bobby took phone calls at the middle of the night, you know, when he didn't have to do that, and he was running the whole show for a long time when you didn't have a station manager. Also, he was dealing with programming, also which he had to do. He wasn't being paid as a program director, but that's what he was there for. Is there racism within the LSB, within the people that's on this board? Yes, it's always been like that. And the people that like that, they know who they are. It would be nice if the new general manager would let programmers know what's going on. Or what, you know, my show, and I give him the benefit of the doubt. He emailed me and he called me. But we're the only show on the air that does local news besides indie media. And we do national, international, and local, and state. And we have people on from all over the place. But we were moved from, from Friday to Monday without anybody telling us to, now we're on the HD channel on, on Thursdays. But if nobody tells us this, we won't know. And it's been this communication problem with the new general manager. He's not letting us know what's going on. He's not letting programs know what's going on. It just looks really, really bad when you have, brown and black programming being moved out and being moved to the middle of the night. When you have, Connect the Dots, which is an important program, moved to 10 o'clock at night. Arab Voices. We dealt with a Palestinian protest this past weekend when you had a black man that was at the protest being pointed out by the police and harassed. And that news needs to be out there. And Arab Voices and the People's News was the only one talking about this thing. But you move Arab Voices to 10 o'clock at night, you know, which is totally wrong. You know, it's no communication being done right now with this new general manager. But we've seen this before. We've seen this happen with the cut and shoot general managers that's come through here and said this and that and say, yeah, we'll do this, we'll do that, and nothing. The whole aspect of you guys making money off of this program that you have and making money off of Democracy Now, that's not gonna pay the bills. You know, people's change. It's not
Mr. Bryan, I hate to cut you off, but I have about four or five more hands raised, and need to get to those persons to allow them some time to speak. I do apologize, but I really need to get to them because we are pressing for time.
You didn't cut off anybody else, but that's okay.
What it is, these hands just popped up, and so, and I know that we are pressing for time, so I do apologize. But these other hands have just popped up, and I want to make sure.
Madam Chair, Adriana, we have a minimum of half an hour. I believe.
Can I say one more thing?
Can we let the gentleman finish, and can we hear for the people that are programmers are the one that bring the listeners? I know that we have half an hour, but it's the minimum. It's up to us to add some more time. I hope that we can listen to these people that are talking sense to all of us.
I'm saying is, it's not just a coincidence that people that are connected with this board or have been given prime slots at 12 o'clock or in the daytime. That's just too much of a coincidence. And the general manager and the board need to answer to that. Thank you.
Madam Chair, Dwayne Lark for a motion.
Yes, Dwayne.
I move that we extend the time for public comment for 15 minutes.
Second.
Richard seconds that.
9:05 is it. Keep on going, Paula. The next person.
Okay. I see Courtney, she, her, Houston, Indie Media, Courtney.
Yes, thank you for giving me time to speak. The first point I want to make is that black and brown people are not monoliths. And that means simply that even though there may be one representing, that does not represent all of the communities and all of the subcultures that are present in black and brown communities. So generalizing and assuming that because maybe one or two black people are represented does not at all speak for the entire black or brown communities. So like with other things, there needs to be diverse representation. At this time, as Rodrigo has presented, the diverse representation has significantly decreased on KPFT. The other major point that I have to bring up is the lack of communication. KPFT is a listener-sponsored radio station. That means that people who listen give money. That means that we are beholden to the people that listen and give money. So if the listeners haven't given input on what they want for the scheduling, then how do you unilaterally, and that's where the money comes from, how do you unilaterally come in and make changes? Also, I am a programmer. A lot of the people that have spoken today are programmers. I'm a programmer on multiple shows. And I give on multiple shows. and I give consistently and have given for years, even before I was a programmer. So to not get input from programmers or try to reach out and communicate with programmers is a disgrace. How do you make changes and you haven't spoken with the people that are creating your radio station? I don't know where they do that. There has never been any professional setting that I've been in where shareholders or people that create your product are not consulted regarding major changes. And none of the programmers were consulted. On the Houston Indie Media Show, we have been on FM for 20 years. We were moved to HD. On the last show, which was on Wednesday on the HD channel, we spoke to numerous programmers who all people of color, all had their shows moved, and all of them had their shows moved without communicating prior to the move. And then at this time, I guess there's some people are being put back on FM or time slots are being moved. I'm not really sure. I did have a conversation, myself and co-host Angela, did have a conversation with David, and he was telling us that we possibly had the wrong scheduling. Another point of alarm. How am I, as a programmer, do I not know the scheduling or have a correct schedule? I'm also really alarmed at the fact that David continues to say that he's not able to get in contact with programmers. Why is that? Why is the list that is available to contact programmers, why is it not complete? Why is it not updated? It's not hard. You're only talking about less than 200 emails. How hard is that to update? It's not that hard. So, you know, I just really feel like this was done without a plan. And I do feel like there is ulterior motive, I think there are a group of people that feel that whatever programming they put on is what the public wants to hear. But as you've heard repeatedly, we have, those people have continued to have their voices highlighted, and, listener, donations have continued to decrease. So they are not the answer. And I just want to repeat again, Black and brown people are not a monolith. Please represent all of the community, not just, you know, a few representations of it. And just because you have, a Black person as a chair or as a Black person as a vice chair, it does not mean that they represent all Black people. Thank you.
Thank you as well, Ms. Courtney. Also, next we have call-in user one. I'm not sure who that is. Call-in user one, please go ahead and speak.
Hi, I actually do want to speak in public comment, but if there's anybody else who's on staff who needs to speak, I'd be happy to wait.
Yeah, Angela has been on the stack a long time, Paula.
Hello, can you hear me?
I have, hello? Hold on, just went off. Is that Angela?
This is Angela.
Okay, go ahead, Angela.
Hi. So I am, as you mentioned, I'm with Houston Indie Media, and between Courtney and I, we're a Black and brown team on the female-led, primarily BIPOC-produced show that is Houston Indie Media right now. The program changes that were affected on June 1st were done with little to no communication with the diverse programmers, communities, and members that they affect. We ourselves, as Courtney pointed out, didn't get an email beforehand of these changes. Even with a member of our group on the board, we were not told that after 20 years we were being moved off FM. Emails have been sent to the programmers now about the temporary nature of those changes now, but that was not done before the changes. It was done after. It was a reactive move. And Mr. Bays has announced here on this call, it was reiterated by another board member, I'm not sure who it was, who said that these programmatic changes were done due to the looming deadline of the restructure of the delivery system. And I and many of my fellow programmers truly believe that us programmers and the community deserve an actual, an actual clear explanation, however technical it may seem, on what does a hardware and a software change have to do with all Spanish shows not being on FM. And I will repeat that. What does a hardware and a software change have to do with all Spanish shows not being on FM? There are no Spanish bilingual public affairs or music on prime time. There are no indigenous voices on prime time. The email lists we've all known for a long time are problematic, but I don't believe that a blast to all your different bad lists saying, hey, we're about to lose our airtime. I'm needing to change delivery systems. Please help me get everyone's information. Let's do this together. I don't believe for one second that all of the programmers would not have bandits to make sure that everybody was connected and had the information they needed and have risen to the occasion to help the station, the station that we, through this entire pandemic, have continued to produce for. And I don't understand how after a year of not being in a building and still continuing to do all that programming, still delivering our shows, that getting our time slots back hinges on being in a new building. That has been said several times on this call. So another thing, money issues. What does a person who's here only for a month playing music, English-speaking music, with no fundraising at all during the 4 hours every morning for 5 days a week, how much money is that going to raise? How is that being taken care of? Who's checking to make sure that all that money that's being raised as a reason that feeds in that time slot, who's checking on that? And so about money, why does a programmer of color who with one donation brings in $30,000 get all three of his hours removed without notice and have to go fight for his hours to be returned? And they're not all returned. With these things happening and with the things being given as a reason, it makes it seem less and less that this is just about the money or just about a delivery platform. One of the board members earlier, again, I didn't know who it was, noted that we're here to work collaboratively. People do what they do. We need to accept that there are glitches in broadcasting. We don't control programming. So all of those things, this has not been a collaborative process. People do what they do, not here. This is a community station. Everyone here is beholden to somebody. These programmatic changes were not a broadcast glitch. And if no one on the board controls programming, then why did Mr. Bay tell us that he had board members clamoring to him about their shows, that he had pressure from all sides? And after all the, this is in reference to comments made here by some board members that I'd like to address. After all the communities of colors have been through, after all our BIPOC programmers have been through, for some here for over 20 years, to say to us, people of color, to just fill out, it's just a part of the major problem that is the systematic and structural inequity here at KPFC. We are happy to cooperate. We do so on an unpaid basis year after year. But there needs to be communication. And as another person said, to just back off. Now, we're not going to back off when our communities are not being served. All of us, the board, the GM, programmers, are beholden to the community. And as Rodrigo noted, 90%+ white is not representative to those communities. And if this is about money, by 2023, the Latino purchasing power in this country is $1.9 billion. If we want any kind of a slice of that money, then what we need to do is, guess what, be representative and represent those communities. And as a reminder, our mandate as a foundation is not to make money. As a matter of fact, it says for it not to. It's to establish a foundation, organize and operate it exclusively for educational purposes, to promote and aid in the activities that serve the cultural welfare of the community, contribute to a lasting understanding between nations and individuals of all nations, races, creeds, and colors. 90%+ is not that diversity, and it is not what Houston is right now. And like Courtney said, we have spoken to David, and he has been responsive, and he's willing to talk through some of these things. And he's let us know that he would make himself available to speak to us, the programmers. And we hope that he will still follow through, because even though he has been very willing to speak to us, it doesn't change the fact. It doesn't change what people feel and how Brian says this is not the first time that this happens. And I, for one, am not going to spill out. And I, for one, and I'm not going to step back. And I'm done. Thank you.
Okay. Is this Akua? I'm sorry for butchering your name, but it's
That's correct, Akua. You're correct.
Thank you.
Go ahead, hi. Thank you so much. And thank you, Madam Chair, and thanks to the entire board. I don't think we spend a little time thanking our volunteers and thanking everyone who participates in this process called Pacifica and trying to make it more democratic. I just have a few points I want to make. Can someone please, and this is a rhetorical question here, explain why the Pacifica mission and process gets thrown out of the window when non-people of color become managers? I'd like to know that, and you can answer in writing, Bill Crozier. Also, if you take note, when Dr. Kamau was manager for 3 months, I believe he raised half of the money that was required of him when the station was in disarray. That wasn't good enough. And I did not hear some of these people who are congratulating Mr. Bays. And excuse me, Mr. Bays, this is not personal. I didn't hear any of you congratulate Dr. Kamau. What we saw was people call the police on him and have him removed from the station for doing his job. So it's disturbing to me to hear some people on this board to congratulate Mr. Bays for doing his job. And you had nothing to say when we've had managers of color, but call the police on them, demonize them, and have them removed. I move on. Maybe we should ask the last station manager who was on the job for 15 years. And our membership went from a very high number. You can look at the stats. I'm talking facts. And it dropped literally in half. He was congratulated every single board member meeting. No board person sounded the alarm during that time that we were in financial disarray and that you had to go to AllMusic. People, we have been here before. I'm sorry, Mr. Bays. We've been here before. The manager who was there for 15 years changed the format more than once to AllMusic, and it did not work. Look at the Houston Rodeo, people. Who did they get to be their headliner? They knew that the music they were playing and offering wasn't bringing them money. They brought in a hip-hop artist who sold 63,000 tickets. I'm afraid that there is a segment of the KPFT population who's living in the dark ages. And I say there's an opportunity here for growth, and there's an opportunity to do and both. But I'd be darned if you're going to take 80, 90% of the format and put all white folks there and then push us to apartheid land and tell us that that's okay. That's unacceptable. I can't even have a civil conversation with you about that because it's disturbing to my spirit. It's disturbing to the community that I serve that someone will do this in the year 2020 on the day of the commemoration of George Floyd's death. Totally and highly insensitive. Lastly, with regard to the program that I host on Sunday, who in their right mind would put a show, Pan-African Journal, behind 10 hours of blues? There's no feed in there. It's set up for failure. So people who have served this community, we get to be pushed back to an apartheid hour when folks are sleeping and we're supposed to be doing public affairs. That is not a good formula. That is not a good formula. And for, again, for you people on this board who are congratulating Mr. Bays, and Mr. Bays, this has nothing to do with you personally. You just got dropped into a pan full of hot grease. But someone consulted him because it's disturbing and it's damn near criminal to see Dwayne Bradley and the other two managers with premium spots on that programming schedule. 12 o'clock, two of them, Thursday and Friday. Somebody had to think about it. On Saturday, another manager in a primetime slot. So I'm saying that there's a process that's in place, that we need to look at that process and become and be inclusive and not continue to perpetuate the big lie that public affairs shows do not bring in money. That is a lie. I know for a fact, because I used to produce one that was second behind Amy Goodman, until one of our managers who had been there for 15 years moved that show to 3 o'clock and put himself in that slot. He put himself in that slot that was hosted by Dr. Muhammad. And he did not raise money in that slot. So yes, I'm upset. I do not apologize for being upset. We've seen this play before. This is structural racism at play. And Mr. Bays, as I said, I keep apologizing to you. You're being used as the tool. But our community, we're not having it. Thank you.
Thank you. The next person I see is calling user one. Calling user one. Go ahead, please.
Okay, great. Thanks, everyone. And it's been good to be in the room listening while the people who actually do the work of making this station run. Because, you know, unpaid producers are the lifeblood of Pacifica. So I want to say three things, actually. And I'll preface that by saying I can't think of very many places that are in as much need of important, relevant, timely public affairs programming than Texas. I mean, some of this stuff, you're a huge state, you know, and I hear how great your, or how great in terms of size, your education system is. But my goodness, some of your legislators are crazy. I can't think of a place that needs more strong public affairs programming than Houston. Houston, as I understand it, is a city of a majority people of color. So I'm not going to speak to intent, because Mr. Bays, whom I'm always tempted to say bias when I see it, anyway. But Mr. Bays, I don't know what's in his heart, but I will tell you, the law does not measure discrimination, and people do not experience the pain of prejudice based on the doer's intent. It is the effect that matters. And what matters here is that we are being told that there was a computer issue, a technical problem that suddenly led to the banishment of people of color, either off the air onto the HD channel, or after 10, and I've been to Houston, and a lot happening there after 10. It is the effect of your deeds that matters. I am stunned to hear that after 4 months, because you started on January 15th, which sticks in my head, MLK, but I'm stunned to hear that 4 months later, the excuse that you didn't know how to get in touch with people that you were put in charge of managing. And yeah, there were all sorts of technical problems. And I imagine that's why your candidacy might have appealed to some on the board, because my understanding is that you were a former operations manager. But it cannot be this or that. It cannot be let's get all the technical pieces in place and then let's take care of the human capital that we have here. You know, I don't like the term volunteer to describe staff, because everybody volunteers. As far as I know, you know, even the people who get a small paycheck, they're still there by their choice. The term for the people who show up week after week after week, who plan the rest of their lives around their schedule, who give hours and hours of their time and spend money that they don't have on stuff they need to get their shows done is unpaid staff, not, quote, volunteers. That's number one. So I think there's a terminology issue there. The only way that this gets to be properly addressed is to restore the program grid. Now, I went to the website because I heard that Democracy Now! Had been moved. I don't know what your numbers are with regard to Democracy Now! Maybe there was something there that said move it to 7 as opposed to 8. I can't make that determination. But when I went to the website, I saw that yesterday, just ahead of today's meeting, and after you knew the ruckus that had been caused by these completely out-of-process changes that people were finding out from other people that their shows were no longer on, you know, there was this big notice, oh, Rock is back, and he's back at such and such a time, which to me is a doubling down, and it has nothing to do with him or his music, nothing personal. But it is a doubling down on, I screwed over a bunch of people, and I'm going to let everybody know, here are my changes, I'm sticking to my changes. That's not the way to go. It's a violation of our bylaws, and an LSB that accepts it and sits with it and does not demand that it be reversed and that people be given a process, conversation, genuine consultation, and I mean both the staff and the communities they serve, that LSB needs to be voted out. Don't even worry about the referendum thing because that's not going anywhere. But there's another LSB election coming up. This cannot stand. The idea that we're going to choose a new location for the station, not based on a neighborhood that is welcoming to staff, that is accessible to staff, because, you know, there have been issues, but on where it lines up with the tower. I actually heard that said on a previous LSB meeting. It's kind of shocking to me that that's the thinking that we're dealing with. And as to these one-on-one conversations that the manager is now willing to have with staff, you know, I know Texas is a right to be abused state, right? Because they call it right to work. There's no union. But there are reasons why employees should be able to meet with management in an organized fashion and with each other for support.
Ms. Corina, I do apologize, but I have to stop you. We have about 2 minutes left.
Okay.
Doing public comments. I do apologize, but I have to stop you at this point.
Okay, thank you. Roll it back. Roll it back, people, and give people a fair process. Respectful process. Thank you.
Thank you.
Do we have more speakers? Paula, do we have more speakers? Because we still have 8 minutes of what we allocated in 9:15.
No, we have 4 minutes, Adriana. And I guess.
Oh, okay. 4 minutes. Do we have anybody else that wants to talk in the public?
We started public comment at 18 minutes after the hour.
The chair was the one that gave the time.
Do we have anybody else? Paula, what's up?
Ma'am.
Is it anybody else?
Madam Chair, yes, Madam Chair, may I be recognized?
Can you hold on 1 second, Sandra? Mm-hmm. Paula, is there?
Yes, I see two hands up.
Okay, the two people. Go ahead. What, finish. I'm sorry, Paula. Finish.
No, which they are repeat speakers, but I do see their hands up, which is Akua and also Rad Rich.
Okay, you guys. You guys already spoke. Is it important that you have to speak again?
Yes.
I'd like to say one more thing, please, if no one else is speaking. Thank you.
This is Courtney. I would also like to say one more thing, and I will keep it brief.
Mine is brief as well.
Go ahead.
Okay.
Parece que la dejé allá, le colgué.
Oh, who's that? Okay. Okay. Also, Mr. Base did send out an email stating that he's willing to meet our communities So I'd like to at least put on the table that our communities are definitely willing and ready and available to meet with him as well. Thank you.
All right, the next person, please keep it brief.
That's Rad Rich.
Yeah, like I said before, the Rock and Soul Review show is supposed to be on today, tonight, actually, at 8 o'clock. It wasn't aired, and we never got any type of email. We didn't get no type of communication. And it's like, wow, really? We put a lot of work in it. We put like 8 hours, 8 to 10 hours into our news, and we put at least about 5 hours into doing the Rock and Soul Review, a music show. And for it not to be aired, you know, it's just kind of, it's very, very discouraging. And the lack of communication is what I said before is a problem. Let us know what's going on and maybe we can do something. But if you don't let us know what's going on, you know, come on. I think what needs to happen is, maybe David needs to get a new, a program director or somebody to work along with it. So all the stuff won't be just on him.
Thank you. It was one more person.
Yes, Ms. Courtney, she, her, Houston.
Yes, this is Courtney. I just wanted to add, I had forgotten to say it originally. Bobby, my dad, was one of the best resources that KPFT had. It is really unfortunate that his service and all of the work, he would spend hours on the phone with you with technical support if you need it. And I just have to reiterate, he was not the issue. He actually was one of the biggest resources that we had during the pandemic. And without him, we wouldn't have been able to stay on the air. Thank you.
It's 9:10. We are moving on to the PNB.
Madam Chair, this is Teresa. May I be recognized?
Teresa, I have to move on. What is?
I just want to say I'm present. Thank you.
Hey,
Phoenicia.
Yes.
It's Dave. Real quick, Rad, you are correct. The file that was uploaded is a bad file. I'm glad you brought that to my attention because I was not watching it during the show or while we're doing this. So yes, we have two bad files that are uploaded. If somebody can get me those files, we can get them on right now.
Okay. Sandra Rawline. Sandra. Okay, Lyndon.
I'm here. Okay. I'm sorry, I was muted. You're wanting a PNB report?
Yes, or whatever you have to say.
Don't have a lot to add at this point. The audits are, the 2019 audit has been completed. We're still waiting on the management letter. And the 2020 audit is due by the end of this month, the 30th of June. Anita and her awesome group of people that are doing the audits with the auditors are on track for that. The personnel committee, we're kind of in a holding pattern because of the New Day bylaws referendums. There will be no need to hire a executive director if the New Day bylaws pass. We will have something in place that will help move the foundation forward. Strategic planning has a lot of really good stuff going on, but they're all still in the working phase. Everything from emergency response plans to Bitcoins and selling access to our archives. Lyndon can probably speak more to that. And the bond idea. So that's really all I have to say. Thank you.
I have one question, and as vice chair, maybe you can answer it. You all said that the ballots were going out on the 7th. I've had too many questions about where the ballots.
You know, Renee Penaloza, the She's the elections coordinator. I don't know her exact title, but there is a resource. If you did not receive your ballot to vote on the New Day Pacifica bylaws referendum, you can go on pacifica.org and request a ballot. I have not received a ballot, although I did receive an email from Renee telling me that I was a valid voter. And I had a lot going on the last week or so, and but I do check my emails regularly, and I did not receive my ballot. So I will be going on in the next few days to request my ballot. So if you have not received your ballot via email, there is a cure for that. You can go to pacifica.org and request a replacement ballot. Thank you.
This is Richard. I have some information about Bob Gardner ballots.
Go ahead, Richard.
I got my ballot in the spam section of my computer.
All right.
So look in there.
Check that spam. Bob.
Yeah.
I was.
Just to follow up on that, that was the first thing that I checked. Didn't get it. So, yeah, if you did not receive a ballot, check your spam, check your junk folders, and if it's not there, then please go on pacifica.org and request a ballot. Thank you.
Mine went out bright and early on the 7th, and I happen to know that there are others who found their ballot in spam.
Okay, thank you.
I'm trying to cut these people off.
Stan.
Yeah.
What did you say?
Oh, okay. All right.